If you look at the paragraph at the top of the lesson, kind of sets the stage for our study tonight. The basis for our study is what Jesus said is the second greatest commandment, love your neighbor as yourself, or as you love yourself. And so our ability to fulfill that commandment hinges upon or depends upon a healthy attitude toward ourselves, because that's the measure. Love your neighbor as, in the same manner as, you love yourself. Okay, so here we have this lesson about being a woman. And you see, I've simply entitled the lesson, Accept Yourself. You'll see why we look at that this way as we go through the lesson, why it's important that women accept their being a woman and being in that role. So you see in this first paragraph, we said healthy attitudes toward self depend on understanding our roles in life. If we disdain our roles, it can degrade our self-esteem. If we neglect the duties assigned to our roles and attempt to assume the attitudes, demeanor, and duties of a role not ours, it robs society of what God intended each to contribute in their respective role and produces confusion, frustration, and strife. Trusting the love and wisdom of our Creator to have ordered what is best, we must seek to understand and gladly accept the role He has assigned. So this lesson and the next, we'll talk about the role of being a woman, and then we'll talk about the role of being a man. So we start here in Genesis chapter 2, verse 18 through 24. Why did God create woman?
As a companion for man.
Verse 18, God said, it is not good for the man to be alone. I will make a helper suitable, or answering to, American Standard footnote, comparable to, some versions say. King James says meet, M-E-E-T. I will make a helper suitable for man. Now, the picture then, when we're introduced to the creation of the woman, it was to fulfill a purpose. And that purpose was the companionship of the man. Now, what is there in the text, we asked this question on your lesson, that shows there was not another being on earth that could take her place? Okay, said it was not good for the man to be alone, but maybe there was nobody else. There was no other beings. Is that right?
Not suitable.
What?
Not suitable. There was nobody. Nothing suitable.
Were there any other beings?
Yes.
Yes. The world full of animals. And so, although we see that God, what day did God make the man and the woman?
Six.
All right, day six. What day did He make the birds? Aha, we got to go back to chapter one, don't we? Look back at chapter one.
Fourth day.
Okay, fourth day. Good. And then what day did He make the water animal, verse 20 through 23. Fifth day. And then He made man. So when we get to Genesis 2, we're actually backing up. And actually, it's out of chronological order for a purpose. There's a purpose. And that was to show the reader that there was nothing comparable, nothing that would fit the need, nothing suitable to answer this void in man's life, and so God made the woman. She is custom made by the greatest designer that there is, the greatest architect, the greatest builder. God made woman, just like she is, in all her femininity and her powers and her nature. And so, does this passage exalt woman or degrade her?
Exalt.
It exalts her. She has no peer. She's made by God, not amongst thousands of others, but for a specific purpose, made by God to meet this need. Look at Proverbs chapter 12. You can hold your finger here if you wish, but look at Proverbs chapter 12. So when we're introduced to the creation of the woman, she was created in relationship to a man. Woman, out of man. So look at chapter 12, verse 4. An excellent wife is the crown to her husband. Or it could be translated, an excellent woman is the crown to her man. Since wife and husband were the same words as woman and man. The translators have helped us here by translating it this way. But we're looking at woman. An excellent woman is so valuable to her man, her husband. But she shames him as his rottenness in his bones. So here we start at the beginning of man's existence on the earth. We move all the way down to the book of Proverbs, and still the exaltation of woman in this role is being spoken of. In chapter 19, and verse 14... House and wealth are an inheritance from fathers, but a prudent wife, not just any wife, a prudent wife, is from the Lord. Sometimes when we talk about marriage or the family, we see Adam alone, and God made the woman and brought her to the man. When you bring something that you have personally invested your interest and time in to somebody to leave it with them, what do you call that?
Gift.
A gift. Here's a gift from God. And here you have that same concept. A prudent wife, God made her. God made her with her potential. And if she has listened to the Word of God and let God's Word develop her moral and spiritual character, what a wonderful blessing she is from God. Thus, the man should extol her and honor her in that role. And the next verse certainly emphasizes that. Chapter 31. You're familiar with this acrostic poem that ends the book of Proverbs about what we call the virtuous woman. This version says the excellent wife, verse 10, an excellent wife who can find, for her worth is far above jewels. And as you read the poem that is here constructed, you'll see when you get down, we'll talk some more about that in a little bit, when you get down to verse 21 following, these figures, the imagery of the psalm, of the Proverbs, actually relates to her and her family. It's woman in a family role. And so the result of this kind of woman, down in verse 30, it says, charm is deceitful and beauty is vain, but a woman who fears the Lord, she shall be praised. Verse 28, children who understand and husbands who understand will not demean her in that role, but praise her in that role. And I think it's important that we understand this because in our society, the woman who is satisfied and devotes herself to the role of being a wife and a mother is often demeaned. She's put down like she just can't do anything better. And a woman who is really to be honored is the renowned athlete, or the woman who is very successful in business, for example, or the woman who is a teacher or a professor in a university. Now, that woman has made something out of herself. But, you know, if you're just a wife and a mother, well, that's okay. But it's as if you're almost a losing your value and you have not accomplished your potential in life. It's just the opposite of that. And Satan is behind this upside down view of a woman in a robe. Now, love your neighbor as yourself. If a woman's view of a woman's worth is not based upon her role as a woman, but rather her having physical ability and a high education or making a lot of money, then how does that affect her esteem of other women? So love your neighbor. Now, what does love mean? Seek their welfare. It's involved in esteem and honor so that you seek their welfare. And so love your neighbor is based upon the presupposition that you understand why you are what you are and what makes you worthy of esteem. And so it's crucial to this second greatest commandment that women understand and men understand this particular exaltation or the reason women are exalted. We have a question here on the lesson. Women was made to correspond to man, Genesis 2:18. We talked about that. Now, according to Luke chapter 2, verse 52, man is a fourfold being. Talks about the four aspects of the development of Jesus Christ as a man. So, what are those four characteristics that Jesus continued to advance or increase in? What's the first one?
Wisdom.
So, what part of man is that? What?
His mind,
the mental capacity. In stature, what part of man is that?
Physical.
In favor with God, we'd say is what?
Spiritual.
And in favor with man would be?
Social.
So here's four aspects of the nature of man. Now, if God made woman to correspond to, does she not have these same four aspects? Yet, woman is not man. She's different from man. God could have made another man, but he didn't. He made a woman. So we ask the question here on the lesson based on these four things. And this is really for class input. I've got some things down here, but I'd be interested if you had thought about this and have something down. What are some ways women can prepare themselves to better serve in their role? Let's take the first one. About wisdom. How can they better prepare themselves to serve in that capacity?
Tell them more what God has to say about how they want to serve and treat your children.
Okay. All right. Well, that's certainly true. That, and that would be wise, but would that fall maybe under that third area we talked about? Favor with God. You're right, Ennis. That's a good answer. You know, it doesn't have to be spiritual. A woman can be a man's companion and prepare her mind so that she can engage in intelligent conversation with her husband. Can talk to him about things that are of interest to him and things that he needs to discuss with someone. She can exercise her mind in pursuits that will keep her mind sharp and clear, make her a good companion. So just like Jesus advanced in wisdom, a woman can advance in wisdom with the purpose of being the best companion that she can be for her husband. What if she spends all her time watching soap operas on TV and reading romance novels? Is she going to advance mentally to be the kind of companion that will be a benefit to her husband? And then we talk about this second one, advancing stature. So a woman can do what to be the good companion for man?
Keep herself in good health.
Keep herself in good health. Take care of herself. There are women that don't do that. They have no self-discipline in what they eat. They have no self-discipline in exercise. They have no self-discipline in the way that they order their daily activities so as to get rest. And so a woman was made by God to correspond to man mentally and physically. And therefore, accepting her role as a woman, she would endeavor to love herself and take care of herself, her body. Can you tell me a verse that teaches that those who love themselves take care of their flesh? Ephesians 5 says that very thing. No one ever hated his own flesh, but nourishes and cherishes it. And so, love your neighbor as yourself. And so the woman that understands her value and her value as a companion will nourish and cherish herself mentally and physically. And then the third thing, and Ennis has some good comments on that already, spiritually. She'll be a Bible student. She'll pray. She'll attend assemblies of saints. She'll do whatever will help her build herself up as a spiritual asset to her husband. And accept that role. That's the way God made her. And we'll talk more about that in just a moment. And then in favor with men, working to be the kind of companion that would be an asset socially, that could make it conducive to having people in the home, being able to mingle with people, to be where her husband is proud to have him by her side, to advance him in a social realm. And so these are some ways that a woman who accepts her role, made as a companion for man and corresponding in these four ways, would nourish and cherish her mental, her physical, her spiritual, and her social capabilities. Any comments or questions there? Okay. Yes. Excellent comment. Did y'all hear Wally in the back?
Where's my speech?
Yeah, where's that microphone? Wally was saying that you could say the same things about the man. That the man who loves himself and understands his very makeup, his fourfold nature, if he loves himself, he should be developing himself in wisdom. Do men do that? Sometimes they're not interested. They're more interested in just go catch a fish or go hit a ball or something like that. What about developing oneself in wisdom? And then stature, men get to where they're lazy about taking care of themselves. Don't take care of themselves. We're not talking about trying to be an athlete, but just love yourself, nourish and cherish yourself. And then, of course, spiritually, if a man doesn't nourish himself spiritually, he's just blind as to how important this is to maintaining his own welfare, and then socially. And sometimes men work at none at all on their social skills. And it's not only good for them, but good for their wives that they develop themselves socially, good for their children. And so that's a good point that Wally made. We'll be talking about accepting our role as men in another lesson. I've just got a note on my lesson. I said the distinctive role of woman has become blurred in our society. And so I just made a note. Discuss how the following can reflect or contribute to this. So I made a statement that the distinctive role of woman has become blurred in our society. Let me throw out some things. Is that reflected in the way women dress? Yes. So it's a sin for women to wear pants?
No.
But she shouldn't want to be a man, right? In her dress. To nothing wrong. In fact, it's good if a woman wants to be feminine. That's what she was made for, and that's the way she was made. And her dress, her demeanor. Can a woman, in the way she talks and walks and sits, betray her role?
Yes.
Certainly. You see, women who are manly to an extreme in the way they sit and walk and talk, and lose that role as man's companion. The same thing in, now, I'm not saying working outside the home is wrong. I don't teach that, don't believe that. But there's a problem when working outside the home is the basis of a woman's self-esteem. It should not be. She was made to be man's companion, and yet we see a society that many women have no self-esteem. If they don't have a job somewhere, making a good wage, bringing home money, that kind of thing. And that's, I think, very much undermining our society. Then, so far as an education, women have given up home life and taking care of a husband so they can get higher degrees and then be qualified oftentimes to make more money or to be esteemed by others. And then, of course, the problem of divorce, and there's others. What I'm saying is, we read this in Genesis 2, it has practical applications in everyday life. Love your neighbor as yourself. So if I got to love my neighbor, it starts with a proper understanding of self and esteem of self. Okay, Ennis, you had a comment.
In our great state of Texas, we have a lot of great cowgirls. And too many times our culture, cowgirl culture, kind of gets in the way of the women being real feminine.
Okay. Okay. So, Elizabeth, I'm not sure Ennis wants you to go to the rodeo and become a cowgirl. Okay, Lisa.
I was just going to say, I don't disagree. I mean, obviously, that the woman was made for to be a helper for man, but even if a woman is not married and...
We'll talk about that next lesson. You're ahead of me. No, that's good. I'm glad you're thinking of that. We're going to talk about that next lesson. Good observation, Lisa. That shouldn't mean, so you've got reason to have self-esteem. So I'm glad you hooked into that. Good observation. And we certainly don't want to leave the impression if a woman's not married, she's just a failure. She has no value. And Lisa's going in that direction. That's excellent observation. Now, we talk about woman and her being made in as a companion for man. If we say that doesn't degrade her, it exalts her. So this next question, based on these verses, what is one of the greatest ways that women can serve in this capacity, in her role, according to Genesis 3, Job 2, Proverbs 31? Now, the first two of these verses show how it can work in reverse. And instead of doing what God intended, it actually can become a tremendous detriment. So what are we talking about? What happened in Genesis 3?
She was tricked by the serpent, by Satan.
And so she did. So what? How did that impact the man?
Well, they both got kicked out of the Garden of Eden.
He led her into sin, didn't he? That doesn't justify him. But instead of being someone to help him and lift him up, she became his moral and spiritual downfall. When Job was suffering so much, having lost his wealth and lost his family and lost his health, what did his wife say?
Curse God and die.
Curse God and die. Where she could have been standing by his side as his moral and spiritual support, she abandoned him. And fortunately, Job was a strong enough man not to listen to his wife. And so while God made woman as a companion to man, a high and exalted position, when you put power in people's hands, power can be used for good or evil. For example, God equipped Cain to be a tiller of the ground, gave him strength to use tools. How did he use the physical strength and ability that he had that was bad?
Killed his brother.
So what God has given man that's good can be turned to evil. And that's true with the woman in her role when she fails in that. But on the contrary, in Proverbs 31, so let's go back to Proverbs 31. We read it, just looked at it briefly a while ago. Now look at Proverbs chapter 31. It says concerning this woman, one of the reasons that is given, or a summation you might say, of why she is so valuable, verse 11. It says, or verse 12, she does him good and not evil all the days of his life. She's an asset to him in everything she does and everything she is. And when you get later in the poem, when he lists the veil, as it were, and say, here's what I'm talking about. He's not talking about becoming a real estate lady. He's not talking about planting vineyard, becoming a farmer. He's not talking about being a merchant. All of that is just imagery. Look at verse 20, that started 21. She's not afraid of the snow for her household, for all her household are clothed with scarlet. She makes coverings for herself. Her clothing is fine linen and purple. Her husband is known in the gates when he sits among the elders of the land. Verse 25. What clothing is she putting on her children, on her husband, and on herself?
Strength and honor.
Strength and dignity. That's what this woman is pursuing. And she is an asset to her family. She may never plant a vineyard, may never earn a dollar. But she provides her family as a woman, as a wife, and as a mother with something that cannot be bought. And that needs to be understood. And women in this audience have devoted their lives to being a wife and a mother should never allow the magazine articles and the TV ads and the famous personalities and the people in society to make you feel bad about yourself. If you take your role as a wife and a mother as a lifetime role given to you by God, that's exactly the way God intended. And if you have that attitude, you'll esteem other women. Love your neighbor as yourself who do the same thing. So, in Ephesians 5, let's go to Ephesians 5. I got two passages. One will do. In Ephesians 5, these verses 22 through 33, he talks about the man's role and the wife's role in the marriage. And in summation, what does he tell the woman to do?
To submit herself to her husband.
To submit to her husband, how?
As unto the Lord.
Okay, so what does that imply about her submission?
Respect.
Respectful submission, isn't it? And so submit to her husband respectfully is what her role is in this relationship. Now, does this demean her? Say, oh, he's been made the boss and she's just a little peon. Is that the case? Because he's been given the leadership role in the family. How does this verse that we have here on your lesson, Luke 2:51, bear on the answer to that question? What does Luke 2:51 say? What?
Her position in him should be as to the Lord.
No, Luke 2:51.
Jesus was subject to his parents.
Jesus was subject to his parents. Who is the creator?
God.
The boy. The boy was the creator. Who is the God? The boy. Who should be worshipped? The boy. But that boy understood the role of authority and he respected his parents' role. Did that demean him? Absolutely not. Did that take away from his deity? Not a bit. Did it rob him of honor of who he was? Not a bit. And so, again, in our society, you know, women are saying, I'll never listen to a man. I'm not going to follow a man's lead. I'm just as important as he is. Well, that's worldly thinking. you can follow somebody's lead. Let me ask you this. This woman who says she's not going to follow the man, will she submit to the President of the United States?
Yes.
Does that mean she thinks the President's greater than her as far as worth?
No.
It doesn't. But this is the corrupted view of human worth in our society, and that undermines the role of man and woman in the marriage relationship. And so woman is instructed to respect her husband's role, but that in no way demeans her. Now, let's look at Proverbs chapter 1, verse 8 and 9. You know, men, men want to be esteemed as what?
Leaders.
As a man. Leader, whatever his role is, as a man. You don't want to be esteemed as, boy, he's a nice little woman, do you? As a man. Whatever a man's supposed to be. He wants that. And to be esteemed for being what a man is supposed to be. Correspondingly, shouldn't the man esteem the female for being what a woman is supposed to be, rather than demeaning her because, hey, you can't do what I do. I'm the leader here. Except, what a shame when men do that, as if they're more important. No, they're not. As if they're worth more. No wonder marriages are often in trouble because men don't understand this and they demean their loving, devoted wives and mothers of their children because the man makes money and he's strong and he can do this and that, she can't. And so this love your neighbor as yourself impacts not only the woman's ability to do this, but the man's ability to understand what it means to be a woman and to respect that. All right, look at Proverbs chapter 1, verse 8 and 9. If I had to ask you to turn to a verse that talked about training children and the responsibility of parents to train children, what would probably be the first verse that comes to your mind? Okay, that's one. I knew somebody would come up with that one. That's a good one. Proverbs 22:6, train up a child in the way he should go. Is there one in the New Testament you often think of? What? Ephesians 6. Verse 4 says what?
Do not provoke your children to anger, but bring them up in
the
discipline and instruction of the Lord.
Who? Fathers. Oh. That's daddy's role, right? So we know about fathers. Bring up your children in the discipline and instruction of the Lord. But look at this verse. Proverbs 1:8-9. Hear, my son, your father's instruction, and do not forsake your mother's teaching. There's a father and a mother. You say, well, Ephesians 6:4 just really exalts the father. Maybe it's just the opposite. Maybe he addressed it to the fathers because the fathers were the ones that's failing. He said, hey, wake up, guys. It's your job to train your children. And men don't often think of it that way. But it's also the woman's responsibility. And so we answer the question, in this role, what impact can a woman have? And obviously she can have a tremendous impact upon her children. So, indeed, verse 9, they are graceful wreaths to your head and ornaments about your neck. There are no clothes that a mother and father can buy. There is no house that they can purchase or build. There is no vehicle that they can provide. That is as valuable and beautiful to a child as a character that they impose upon them and teach them to have. That's the most beautiful ornaments that they can give them. And a woman who has no money, no power, no secular job outside the home, she can provide those things. The most valuable gifts there are. She may not have the money to buy expensive gifts, but she can give the most valuable gifts there are. And we need to esteem women because they can provide that role. Look at chapter 29, Proverbs 29. And I know some of you in your minds already ahead of me, but we're going to get to those other places about the women of the Bible, you know, that did that very thing. Verse 15 of 29. The rod and reproof give wisdom. The child who gets his own way brings shame to who?
The mother.
So who should be using the rod and reproof? Both, but in this verse, who's being focused on? The mother. It's not, wait till your daddy gets home. No. That's your job. And you need to have enough self-esteem to do your job. To use the rod of discipline and explain why you're doing it. Prepare yourself. We talked about growing in wisdom, mental capacity, spiritual. Learning the Word of God so you can give that kind of reproof that your child needs. And so in verse 17, correct your son. He'll give you comfort. He will also delight your soul. So a mother who wants to be proud of her children and rejoice in her children and be glad to have them with her, walk by their side. It's a mother who understands her role and esteems it and accepts it joyfully. In chapter 31, and that's a poem about the excellent wife, verse 21, it says, she's not afraid of the snow for her household are clothed with scarlet. As your children grow up, they're protected by the environments of your home. But as they get older, they're going to be more and more exposed to the world. And as they're exposed to the world, there's going to be some really bad storms they're going to go through. There's going to be some very cold days. There's going to be some strong winds they're going to have to withstand. Don't have to worry. This good mother has made the garments to protect them. Not literal garments. You see, down in verse 26, she opens her mouth in wisdom. And the teaching of kindness is on her tongue. And so esteem that kind of woman. Hold her up and give her honor. And that will help us then to love our neighbor as ourselves. All right. In the last few minutes, we got this right at the bottom of the page. And all we can do is look at it very briefly. We'll maybe look at it some more in our next class. But Moses. Let's take Moses. He grew up as what role did he grow up as?
Prince.
A prince in Egypt. But somewhere, when you read Acts 7, 20 through 25, somewhere he came to understand, I'm a Hebrew. Those are my people. And I'm to be their deliverer. Where did he learn that? I don't know. Doesn't say. No indication there was a divine revelation to him. There is a statement over here in Acts 7 about him being recognized as a lovely child or fair to God. This is a recognition by his mother? I don't know. I do know when you read Hebrews 11, somewhere he had been taught so much so that he was willing to give up all the treasures of Egypt for what the Hebrew writer calls the reproach of Christ. Wouldn't you like to know more about his mother? I would. And so, Moses, this great looming character in the Old Testament. But how much of Moses is because of his mother? We don't know for sure. We do know about this next man. You know, we have three letters to preachers. Two of them are to Timothy. And Timothy grew up without a father who was a Christian, grew up in a city called Lystra. It was a pagan city where Paul was stoned. And yet when you go to Acts 16, at the tender age of probably 18, maybe 20, Paul said, I want that man to go with me. He had responsibility. He had a good reputation. He was somebody Paul thought he could trust. And he took him with him on his journeys. And then later, Paul left him at Ephesus to be a preacher of the church at Ephesus. We have a key to it in 2 Timothy 1:5 and chapter 3. He talked about the faith that first dwelt in your mother and your grandmother. What else did his mother and grandmother do? What businesses did they run? I know nothing about that. What I know is they clothed Timothy with his beautiful character. They instill faith in him. And mothers that spend their time doing that instead of pursuing worldly pursuits should never hang their head as if, I'm not worthy. That other woman, she's so great. No, she isn't. Because she can run a mile, because she can go up in this tower and business in a business suit, doesn't mean a thing. And so here's this Timothy. And he said, from a babe you've known the Holy Scriptures, chapter 3. On the other side of the coin is Ahaziah, king of Judah. And I don't know if you took the time to read these verses. There was a woman who was influential in his life too. Who was she? Athaliah, daughter of Ahab and Jezebel. Buddy, she was one wicked woman. She influenced her husband Jehoram badly. And she influenced her son Ahaziah badly. And so it can go both ways. And so the role that a woman has as a wife and a mother, the way God intended it, is certainly a reason for us to sit back and esteem and appreciate and honor women who have given themselves and given their life and given their time to that role. The Lord willing, in the next class, we're going to expand, and Lisa's already began to open that door. We're going to talk about women who should be esteemed, not necessarily in the role of wife and mother, but in other ways. And so we'll be looking at women who obtained a good testimony, a witness from God about these women. So if you want to pick up that lesson, if you don't have it already, the Lord willing, in our class on Sunday, we'll look at some women like that. Thank you for your good comments tonight.